Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Aimless Babble Z, episode 306. I'm Ticketmaster, joined by
RPGManiac05
and Trioptical.
See, I got so much been playing. Some, what strategies work for you when you're tackling your ginormous backlog of awesomeness and some news? So, yeah. I personally have nothing good to say about this news, so, you know, if anybody else wants to vote to skip it. Now, speak now or forever hold your pieces, because, you know, I'm kind of over it. Nah. I'm out of good things to say, so I'd rather, like, not say anything than just be like, yeah, F that game.
I guess I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the game, because I still think mechanically it's fun, but whatever.
Yeah, I'll see how you feel about that name. 8 more years, Tropical. 8 more years. It's like, yeah. Remember... Oh, these mechanics are amazing, Tropical. Too bad the story never caught up. Too bad the regular doses of things to do never caught up. Blah, 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 never caught up. Yada, yada, yada.
Actually, I got a question. There was a news report saying that people were receiving emails from Bungie asking them if they were still having fun. Like, help us fix the game or something like that. Did you get one of those?
Oh, dude, if I did, I would have been typing so furiously and filling so many text boxes with keyboard strikes, but I did not get that, so nope.
It's probably for the best.
Probably is. I would have, yeah, Evil Tekken would have came out. I don't even know if Evil Tekken exists, and that would have been like it. It'd been like, oh, you want to know how I feel about this game? And just like, bam, it just it'd been over. Like, it'd been like, they turned me to the dark side. Evil Tekken came out.
Yeah, I guess for me, it would... Well, let's see. In 8 years' time... No, I think for me, it will depend mostly on what kind of community is left. So if the community all leaves, obviously I'm not going to be there at the end of 8 years. And yeah, so I guess I'm going to be bandwagon type for Destiny. And not really, you know, just for bandwagon purposes, but because, like... It's an online multiplayer game. If there's no community, then it's just, yeah, like the game itself isn't as good anymore.
Yeah, I think I came to that realization with the February update when it's like, oh, here's a new event thingy, whatever we're throwing out to throw you a bone. It's like, well, I could be that person who's like, oh, I'll come back every now and then for whatever new thingy they're doing. But if it's not worth doing or not worth checking out, I'll just be like, whatever, and just. Peace out, because it's like, I don't need some shiny emblem for some event that doesn't matter that I did that one time that you can only get that during that 1 week. Whatever, I'm over it. Whatever. But, you know, if I get that 320 ghost, I'll be, you know, I won't be happy, because I'm super bummed and anger is like, you know, I can't get happy anymore because of this game. Well, I can't get happy, but it's like, you know, I can't get happy about getting the 320, so it's like, I'm burnt out, sorry. Yay. And take my parting gift and be like, I'm done. Peace out. Skip in year three.
So, hypothetically, if this survey comes out and, like, they drastically listen to what people suggest...
Okay, hypothetically. Even though I hate dealing in hypotheticals and they, like, fix everything, that would be cool. But, I don't see that being tropical, so...
Alright, then. That's enough Destiny.
That is enough Destiny. Let's move on. Ugh. What a vomit now.
You played lots of other stuff, then.
I didn't play a lot of other stuff, Tropical. I did play other stuff, though. I finally played... Man, it was weird. I finally played a current-gen Assassin's Creed. After the...
That's so funny.
Okay, it's a long story, but, like... So Assassin's Creed, after the third game, I'm like, the series is dead to me, but then I, like, after that point, I think I picked up Freedom Cry and Liberation, just to be like, you know, well, if they're gonna at least, like, you know, have diverse casts, or, like, diverse character leads, I'll check their stuff out, so I bought those two, and then, I mean, Unity has, or not Unity, the one after Unity, Syndicate has, like, the brother and sister, but it's not just the sister, so it's like, it's kind of a cop-out, and, like, twins or whatever, so it's like, double cop-out, whatever, didn't pick it up. But I was like, yeah, let's go, Monero team, and then Freedom Cry. I haven't played it, because I was like, oh, that's a neat concept, you know, free slave goes around doing stuff as an assassin, and I checked it out, and I was like, oh, that's not bad, not bad. It's really weird, too, because I hadn't played one such a long time. I forget, like that's what happens, like, every time I play Assassin's Creed, like I take such a long time away because I'm like, this series is dead to me, so it's like, I only have memories of, like, 3 and how slow it was at the beginning, and, like, the other two of, like, how much I enjoyed them, of, like, what they try to do with, like, the open world stuff. And then, like, this one, I can, like, see why people like Black Flag. Is like, you can, like, it's a very small slice, but, it is, like, you know, hitting all the marks. It has, like, the population density, finally, of, like, when you're in the open world of, like, just NPCs everywhere, like, they promised when they first showed it, and, like, they're just going about their business, and it's like, man, that's pretty cool. And then the verticality in this one, because you're in these colonial islands, and it's not really big cities, it's just, like, small towns on the waterfront, but, like, the verticality really helps when, like, you're trying to, like, not get spotted or just going through and doing your stuff, killing people. It's great. That's the other thing, is, like, the combat is, like, you know, I mean, it was weird, because I forgot how to play when I started playing, and, like, there's no tutorial, but the combat's, like, exactly the same as it always been, so it's, like, you pick it back up, like, oh, yeah, that's the thing, you first circle to counter, and then you just counter hit, and then pick your weapons, blah, 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 from the D-pad, and there's, like, some neat little things you get, like, you get this rope dart, you can, like, throw at some dude, person, whatever, rope him in, stab, 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 it's great, and then, that was fun, and then, like, just, you know, hidden blade stuff, when they're, like, just walking up with somebody, and they don't know what's coming, and it's, like, shank, 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 they're dead, and you hide the body, and it's, like, ah, it feels so good. I mean, I said this last week, I don't know what it is about me, but, like, just predatory stealth, and, like, yeah, it never gets old, it's just, like, you know, yeah, it's, like, you know what's gonna happen, but they don't, and ha, 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 ha.
You know what's crazy? Like, no one else uses predatory stealth, the term. Like, I think we're still the only people who use it.
Because it sounds very inappropriate, that's why.
Does it?
It kind of does.
So, like, predator in people's minds doesn't bring up, like, aliens versus predator. It brings up to
it
catch a predator.
Up, like, predator, predator.
wait, that's the alien one, right?
No, the other one.
It's to catch a predator, predator.
Yeah, that predator.
Oh.
I'm saying predator a lot right now.
See, yeah. In my mind, it always brings up, well, I mean, just like on a basic level, like, lions are predators because they kill gazelles or whatever it is they eat.
Still not bringing up good images either way. I mean,
it's very, well, I mean, that's what Sam Fisher does, though, sort of. Except, I guess lions don't hang on ceilings.
That would be a very terrifying thought.
That's when we started using it. It was Splinter Cell and Batman Arkham series.
Yep.
In the beginning. And yeah, I searched it the other day. I was like, huh, nobody uses this to refer to the way that stealth games are now. I thought that was interesting. We should try to spread it into wider use.
Oh, dear.
But, yeah, if, like, you know, if you've been on the fence on Assassin's Creed like I have, and you're like, whatever, dead to me, super bitter jaded, like I am sometimes... I don't know how cheap it is. It's pretty cheap. I don't remember how much I bought it for, but I think it was like maybe 10, 15 bucks, whatever. It's a nice, lengthy chunk of game, and I finished it. So, you know, add another to the win column. Oh, yeah. And, I need to, like, look up when this was made, because, like, I kind of feel like, you know, gaming industry doesn't get the respect or the, what's the word? There's some other word it deserves when it's, like, it's doing stuff that, like, other forms of medium or media or whatever are not doing, and they do it. It's like, oh man, check that out. Cause it's like, I don't know if this came out before 12 years later or whatever, but it's like, oh, 12 years later comes out. Like, everyone's like, oh, this is an amazing movie, blah, blah, blah. I'm pretty sure this came out before that, and it's like dealing with all that stuff too. And it's like, wait, I mean, and then like Liberation came out before that and did the same thing. So it's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. That's like, you know, oh, and then, yeah, it would be some game that does that, and, like, nobody wants to, like, give it praise or whatever. Whatever. So, there's some pretty dark, depressing stuff in there, but it's like, oh, can't believe they went there, but they went there, and it's like, oh, haven't seen that in a game before, so, applause to you, Ubisoft, whichever team, because you have so many of them, did that. Great stuff there. And the character's cool, because he's, like, a freed slave, and then he's, like, he's honor bound, very honor bound to, like, you know, on one hand, he's like, oh, I have to do this thing with the Brotherhood. But then on the other hand, he, like, ends up, like, stranded on his, his ship goes down in, like, some storm. He ends up, like, washed up on the beach. But then there's, like, slavery going on because it's, like, the 1800s or whatever. So that's happening. But he's like, well, I can't just be like one dude that frees everybody, because that's not how that works. So it's like he slowly builds up this resistance. It's pretty cool. I enjoyed it very much, very thoroughly. And yeah, the imagery of the time, although very, very all up in your face. It's like, oh, can't believe they went there. That was pretty cool. Mm. I mean, the way they handle it and do it, it's like, you know, very well handled. So I was like, yeah, good job, Ubisoft. So very much enjoyed it, and would recommend it to people that are fans of that. And then, like, yeah, everybody's always saying, you know, the best thing about Assassin's Creed 3 is the boat thingies. And I finally got to do it. I finally got to play the open world boat battles and stuff. And I was terrible at first, but over time, yeah, it's a fun ride. It's way better than riding my horse in the first game, or whatever you do in the second game, like probably riding carriages too as well, like, you know, place to place. Oh, you can, because there's no cars yet, so it's not GTA, because you're, you know, you're only in the 1700s, so, you know, then you have the horse carriages in Syndicate Duke, so it's like, you know, not in the 20s yet. Still in the early 19th century, Industrial Revolution, so... But boats and ships, yeah, and there's some swimming stuff and some sharks, and it's kind of scary, but I powered through it, so yeah, can't scare me, shark. I have praise for this game, and I'm glad I finally played it and checked it out. Can't wait to play Liberation next week, or I guess tomorrow, because I have this whole stream thing I'm doing this week for, like, you know, minority characters and games and stuff, and I finished this one, so it's on to Liberation and Eveline, so checking that out, can't wait. Let's see.
I feel like next week we're gonna hear, I'm done with Assassin's Creed. The series is dead to me.
Probably.
We'll see. I think this one was like so short, it was like maybe 8 hours max, that it didn't overstay its welcome. But then there's still all the side stuff to do if you want to go back and like synchronize every tower in the village, or go off and like free a bunch of slave ships to get your max resistance score or whatever, blah blah blah. And thingies. Oh, that's a cool thing too. Like when you could like board ships after you've like damaged them enough, and be like, all right, ship to ship combat, piracy. Man, they could have made that its own thing. Black Flag is kind of like that, but it's like they could just like took the Assassin's Creed off of that and just made it like some sort of like pirate adventure game or like series, and that has like been like, oh, we're gonna go with the Caribbean era and have assassins in it, so we can, you know, sell this game. But whatever. Or just, like, do it again without Assassin's Creed on it and, like, have it be its own pirate adventure thing. But, like, I think this is, like, a very ripe, you
just,
you know,
want to be a pirate is what's happening.
I'm just saying, who doesn't want to be a pirate? Would you swashbuckling adventures? I was thinking that the whole time I was playing this game, I was like, man, I can see why people enjoy this game. Like, I can see why people like Black Flag so much. It's, like, you get to have all these swashbuckling fun times with your crew, and you're out in the open sea, and this is only, like, a slice of the game. Like, I'm sure, like, the actual game for Unity is, like, I mean, not Unity. Black Flag is, like, even bigger, so...
Do you get to collect shanties in Freedom Cry?
You do not.
Oh.
I don't even know what that is.
It's fun, because, like, your crew sings while you're sailing. And in Black Flag, you can collect new songs. And then they sing, like, you can... They can be an amazing choir, because they have all huge repertoire of songs.
Because that's what matters.
Yeah. That's part of being a pirate.
That's the good morale boost.
Shanty.
Is your shanties.
The sea shanties.
This is true.
Let's see. What else did I play besides that? I played... Oh, Final Fantasy IV. Okay, so yeah. Making progress with Cecil and the gang. Or Cecil, or how you say that name.
He knows it.
That dude who knows who he is. Stuff went down, man. I can't even say what happened because it's kind of spoilery.
How is it spoilery? Like, the game came out like...
Whoa.
15 years ago, like, if not longer. Like, by now, I'm pretty sure if anyone who wanted to play it would have already played it by now.
Although, it has also come out again more recently than that, so maybe younger people who weren't alive when it first came out.
They likely did that just for the sake of doing it, because they had already, at this point, it's been, what, re-released five or six times now? I'm pretty sure if you wanted to play that game, you've already played it.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there are no statute of limitations on spoilers, so it shouldn't just be like, oh, well, this and that happened. Yeah. But stuff went down after I got to the underworld, which I didn't even get to when I played on 3DS, so like, I totally know I made it farther, because I'm like, I remember this part. And then stuff happened, and I was like, oh, that didn't happen, so yeah. I was like, oh, man, and it keeps getting better. It's like, I got good, and then like something happened, and something else happened, and it's like, oh, man, it's like, yeah, like, multiple rising emotions, or like, the stuff's going down, and then I keep reading the villain's name. I keep
Gold.
Yeah. Gulbez, yes, that guy. He's all like, ah ha ha, I'm gonna teleport myself to the moon. Come with me, second in command guy, Starscream, that is named Starscream, but I can't remember his name right now. And he's all like, all right, dude. And then they skip to the moon, and it's like, oh, you guys are in the moon, but I haven't got to the moon yet. And it's like, oh, so now we're not at the Tower of Babel yet, but, we're making our way there after we made it out of the underworld and stuff went down. And it's like, oh, that happened. And it's like, oh, that happened now. Oh, now I can't believe that just happened after that happened. Oh, that's awesome. And it's like, yeah, Fantasy Four. Yeah, I can see why people love it.
Technically,
saying
the underworld is a spoiler too, though. So if you try to avoid it, you kind of
whatever. No, it's not. That one. It's not a spoiler.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Do you die?
No,
it's like a Dante's thing. Dante's
no,
Inferno thing?
It's not like that at all. It's something, whatever, RPG. It's something naturally, like, it's totally not a spoiler.
It's a literal underworld? Like,
it's like an actual
like
underworld.
Like a,
yeah.
A cave?
Kind of. But it's like another world under the world, kind of, where they have, like, all these other crystals and crap.
There's no spoiler, because it's like, you're going there, and then it's like, you're there, and it's like, oh, okay. It's just like the linear progression of the story is like, oh, okay, we're here now. So like, that was totally not spoiler. Whatever.
It's,
anyway,
they weren't. It's not like something that was like, oh, there's a, like, they, it's not something you.
I didn't
know
say what was there. You're the one that said it was there. RPG. You're like, you totally spoiled it. You totally spoiled it.
It doesn't matter. The fact that you already mentioned it already ruined that. So it's like, doesn't matter.
As long as you don't know why you're going to the world, that doesn't matter. If you knew where you're going there, then like you like they like people know now because you said it. You're in it. Good job.
Yeah.
But so that happens.
Everybody.
And then also, you meet people that you thought were lost to you, and it's like, oh, and stuff happens, and it's like, oh, you're different now. It's like, oh, cool. So that was awesome. But yeah, definitely enjoying it, and I need to replay it now with the sound on, because every Final Fantasy has an amazing soundtrack, and I haven't been able to enjoy this one because I haven't been playing it with the sound. So, yep, replay happening sometime eventually. Or not. We'll see. Did I play? Oh, yeah, we're talking about Destiny at that game. I think that's it. Yeah. I played a bit of Resident Evil before the podcast, but it's whatever. It's, yeah, I just wanted to see, like, where my game save was at, because I didn't know, like, yeah, I didn't know, like, if you could just play as Sheva, which I don't think you can, so that ruins my plan. And then, I also didn't know if you could just, like, start from anywhere and, like, have all your stuff carry over, which you can, so it'd been a long time, dudes. And I looked at, like, my save file, because I was like, did I finish this on Veteran? Because I didn't know if I finished on Veteran or not, and then apparently I did in, like, 2009, so, yeah. Long time ago. But I did it, so, yeah. Since your achievements have dates on them. And I was like, oh, that, yeah. Whatever. So, yeah. Resident Evil 5, I apparently played it a lot, because there's only one more difficulty I need to finish it on. And I'm on, like, chapter 4 or 5 now, out of 6 or 7? Out of 7, I think. Whatever, so... on normal, on my, like, who knows how many is the playthrough, so bunch of guns upgraded and stuff, but that's all I'm playing, I think. Yeah, whatever. Oh, yeah, just because, like, over the weekend I didn't stream anything, I was playing Destiny, so, yeah, I don't talk about it. I don't talk about it. Spoiler alert, I didn't get my 320 Ghost Shell, if you're wondering, so, you know.
Of course not.
One more week, and I'm done.
We already know your Destiny, which is not to get it.
Yes, he continues to play.
Hey, RPG, that's, like, the thing I forgot to talk about is, like, you know, I already talked about it, I think, when, like, you know, I might just come back whenever there's, like, a new thingy, and, like, if it's something I'm, like, feeling, you know, up to check out, I'm like, oh, let me check out this new thing they got going on this week in Destiny. If not, it's like, F this game, I got it, I just have to play.
Yeah.
So, someone else go.
RPG?
No.
No. So I was trying to get my number 2 game finish for the year, and so I went back to Knit Underground, thinking that it would be a short game. It's 3 chapters, so I thought, yeah, this should be simple. And chapter 2 was actually really short, like far shorter than chapter 1. But then chapter 3 started, and oh my gosh, I have no idea how long it's going to take. Is there a name for... a game type, it's like Metroidvania is a big labyrinth, and there are places that you can't go to until you have certain abilities, right?
Yep.
So, it's Knit Underground's 3rd chapter is this giant labyrinth, but I don't think you get additional skills. You're just sort of wandering because you don't know where to go exactly, and occasionally there's like locked doors, and instead of getting a skill to go through it, some guy will be standing there and he'll tell you to go collect some stuff, and then you gotta hunt through the labyrinth and find the stuff and then go back and open the door. So far I've been able to open, I think, like zero doors. And the area, it's huge. The map is humongous. Some of the sections are actually the same as from Chapter 1 and 2, except that now they're all connected differently. It feels very ridiculous and gigantic, and I'm like, I don't know if this is worth it, but I'm this close? Can I say that? I'm not actually that close.
You're on the last chapter.
Yeah,
chapter
I'm on the last
you're
chapter.
You're probably not close.
But the chapter is huge. So it's crazy. Yeah, the thing they introduced in Chapter 2 is that in the first chapter, you play as basically a human character, and you can climb walls and jump. And in the second chapter, you are a ball, a bounce ball with eyes. And if you press jump, like, you bounce higher and higher, and if you press down, then you sort of, you know, maintain a small bounce. And then in Chapter 3, you can freely switch between ball and human. So you can go to places that you couldn't get to in Chapter 1, because now you can bounce really high and then turn into a human to latch onto the wall and then climb up. And there is, like, way more complicated stuff than that. There was a room that I spent probably half an hour, 45 minutes in, and I could not figure out how to get to the other side of it. I was like, ugh. Or I could sort of see how to do it, but the amount of skill, it felt like maybe I was making it harder than it actually should be, because it felt like it was asking me to do really tricky, like, dexterity finger tests. And I was like, they've never asked me to do this before, but who knows? Maybe now, like, now is the time that they're asking me to do it. Yeah, so after a few attempts, I think like 4 or 5 hours, I'm like, okay, I'm going to play something else now. And over the weekend, Steam had a game called Fractured Space. They said it was free for the weekend, and if you downloaded it over the weekend, then you got to keep it after that. I was like, okay, cool. I will do that. I'll get to it later. I have a ton of games to play. But yeah, so Fractured Space, I started playing it, and it turns out it's an early access MOBA-type game, but it's different in the way that you actually play it. So most MOBAs that I've played are sort of like StarCraft style, or Diablo style, you know, it's like that top-down camera. In this one, it plays sort of like Star Trek Online, whereas the strategy is you're in these big capital ships, and there are 6 different sections. It's like top, bottom, and all 4 sides around you. And you shoot at other capital ships, and once you damage armor, or your armor gets damaged on one side, you want to spin around so that your remaining armor is taking the brunt of the hits until your damaged areas can sort of regenerate or whatever. And it's actually really cool. I was like, oh, well, I really like Star Trek Online's battles. These seem a bit more simple in that, like, Star Trek Online, you would end up with tons and tons of skills, and that's sort of how you turn the tide. Whereas in this one, you're just fighting in these sort of dense asteroid fields, and so you can actually, like in a cover shooter, you can sort of take cover behind rocks and then pop out and shoot guys and then go back, and it's like full 360 degree movement because you're in space. The MOBA part, basically the way they did it, so instead of this giant map, there are 3 different sections. So in other MOBAs, these would be the lanes, and you can't, how do you explain? Like, you can't see what's happening in other lanes except on the minimap. Whereas in other game MOBAs, like, you can just sort of scroll over and look. And this one, in order to get to the other lanes, you need to capture some of these mining outposts and forward operating stations in each of the lanes. And then you can do, like, these warp jumps and jump to the other sections. And I think that's probably how they keep the game sort of, like, the strategy part still makes sense, even though you can't see what's going on over there, necessarily. It's it's pretty cool. I like how they've taken the MOBA and like, yeah, let's do something totally different. Tekken, you're anti-MOBA, right?
Yep.
Why is that? Have I asked you that ever?
it's just like why I don't like essentially PvP modes and games.
Oh, right. Yours is like, it's not a story thing. It's like it's like sports games, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I talked to someone before. They're just like, they don't like games that are top down. They consider them technically inferior. It's just like, what?
So you don't like Diablo?
If you're one of those people, which I imagine are pretty rare, this is something you can check out. It's early access, so I think it's, or I don't know what it costs. I got it free.
There's like a third person one on Xbox One. What's it called?
Like Monday Night Combat?
No, it was
Smite?
Yeah, Smite. Isn't Smite like a MOBA, but it's like third person shooter?
I think it's not even a shooter. I think like some characters play as shooters and others are like melee characters.
So it's like Paragon?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, this is the thing that people are chasing now. They're trying to chase, because League of Legends, we hear so little about it, but it actually is one of the
ginormous.
Yeah, it's like the most popular game there is. And it's sort of like Borderlands. Like, Borderlands was incredibly successful, and really no one tried to copy it. Like, there isn't really anything like
Borderlands. Yeah, man, I remember we talked about that on the podcast. Like, I thought that was, like, the next big thing of, like, four-player co-op games.
Yeah.
And then, like, nothing.
It didn't really happen.
Left 4 Dead, Borderlands, and that was, like, it. It was like, what? And then, it never materialized. And I'm sad because I was like, I thought that was going to be the new hotness, and it never happened. I'm sad now because it's like, I've got Division, which I'm like, and Destiny is like, no way, because it's not three people unless it's a raid. So it's like, whatever. So.
And the other thing that they're coming out with, which I keep getting the name of.
But that's a, isn't that? I mean, they're like, it has a three mode, but it's. Seems like it's more focused on PvP.
I'm interested in seeing what it is. Like, so the cool part about MOBAs is, like, the tons and tons of characters that you can
have. Heroes. I think that's, like, the one concept of MOBAs I respect is that, like, each character is completely different because it makes, like, a fighting game where you have to, like, know everybody's weakness and strengths, like, down the line to be good at the game and competent and, like, know what you're doing.
That
and,
like, is be right for really, any situation. It's really cool. And it's, I don't understand how a person learns it, but somehow you do. Because that's what happened with me on Heroes of the Storm. It's like, I looked at it, it's like, okay, I recognize, like, half of the characters here, because I've played other games that they were in. And then the rest of them, is like, well, World of Warcraft, I never got past 18 or something like that, so I don't know any of these people. maybe it's a function of having...
Actually, there's this video on YouTube I watched this week. It was called... the best choices that you have to make in, or the games are like the best choices in them or something like that. I'm generalizing it. It was something about choices in games, but they weren't talking about like choices as far as like Mass Effect or the Telltale stuff of like, who lives, who dies, or left or right, good or evil. It was more of like in the moment of gaming when you're playing the game, like, do you like retreat, advance, or do you like, are you gonna go melee? Are you gonna go range? Like stealth or guns blazing? It's like this. It's like the minutia of the choices that like you're making on the fly. Like that's what like builds to like the even more awesome choices. And they had this example I'm trying to look up called the something 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 model. And like this, I'll find it when I find it. But it was basically like it's like all the small things lead to like really big things. And then like you have like stuff like that to where it's just. Like, when you have that in place, it basically leads to, like, the best of the peanut butter jelly sandwiches of, like, I didn't do that because I had to do this. But, like, you're always, like when you're playing, it's, like, you're always, like, in a dynamic mode of, like, judging, engaging, like, what you're going to do in real time of, like, that's what makes your game so awesome, in my opinion. But, I was like, that's a pretty good point. And then, like, when we're talking about the MOBAs and, like, how every hero is, like, basically different, like, you have to approach it, like, every situation, like, in your brain, you have to, like, think of, like, okay, well, at this moment they could do that or do this. And you're always, like, weighing, well, how do I... And then, like, the character I'm using, like, how do I like, what are my pros and cons against them, and their build out, yada, yada, yada. So it's like, oh, yeah, awesome. Yeah.
I imagine, like, the way I feel when I'm playing Heroes of the Storm, I imagine that's what, like, people who are better at fighting games than I am feel like when they're playing fighting games. Because, you know, you're thinking about positioning and what moves and things like that and what the other guy's going to do and stuff like that. And for me, with fighting games, I can't even go that far because it's like, execution-wise, I think I can do it maybe 20% of the time. So I can't even plan things out. I was like, well, I would like to maybe do this thing, but really I'm just going to push a bunch of buttons and hope that something works. And yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, it was called the orthogonal unit differentiation. Wow. And it was like, I think the lead designer or somebody on Deus Ex came up with that. So yeah.
Interesting. Anyway, back to Fractured Space. And since it's early access, I guess, there aren't, unlike other MOBAs, there aren't a lot of characters. Like, so far I only know of 4 different types of ships. And it's basically like, oh, this one is effective at longer range, and this one is more deadly at close range, and this one is a support type, and this one has a lot of health or something. I can't play any of those. I can only play the long-range one. I tried the other ones, and it was terrible. I died so much. It was crazy, because, like, my first game, I actually had, like, 27 takedowns. And I was like, wow, is that typical? And, like, the rest of the games I played, even the ones I won, it was, like, 8 or 9. So, yeah, I don't know what happened that first game. Maybe no one knew what to do to win, and we just wailed on each other for a long time. But no one else had that many takedowns, so it's fun. I am looking forward to see what else they do. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing anyone else chasing the MOBA train. Like, how are you going to make it different? Because a ton of people tried to make MOBAs that were basically the same, but with different characters. And those are all gone. What was the DC one? DC had one.
Infinite Crisis, yeah.
Yeah, that shut down so fast. The ones I can think of, I guess Smite, and there was another, like, colorful-looking one coming to Xbox One. Can't remember what it's called.
Overwatch?
No, that's, I understand that's not a MOBA.
Oh, dear.
No, it's I think it's exclusive to Xbox One.
It might not be out yet, because I think I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
I think it might not be out, cause they showed it at E3.
Yep. But yeah, those two, and then I did play a bunch of Heroes of the Storm, because there's like a lunar event going on. Lunar Festival stuff? Is that what they call it here? Chinese New Year's? And they have, like, different... Or the... The prizes aren't as good as the Winter Festival, but whatever. I like the game enough. And they released the Wizard from Diablo 3. And so far, she seems super powerful. Today, I don't even know what happened. I was just sitting there in my siege tank, which was not, like, I was sieged, so I couldn't move. And, like, just like that, you know, I blinked and I died. And I looked and was like, it was just the Wizard and... It was like, yeah, 2 characters. Oh, the Wizard and Zeratul. And yeah, it was like not even 1 second. And I was just dead. I was like, that was crazy. I've never seen anything do that much damage. And yeah, so new character to learn how to fight against. Because she's new, she costs a lot of gold, so I probably won't be playing as her for quite a while. But yeah, that's exciting. And then actually, before we start recording... It brought to mind something that happened to me when I was playing Batman Arkham Knight, the Season of Infamy. There was... Can't give anything away, so...
Give it all away.
There was a point, like, one of the missions, there was a point where I had, stuff went down, something happened, and I paused the game and walked away for like 2 hours to decide what to do. It was like, that's so cool, because like, that's what I like about the Arkham games. Like, they feel like, or they're like the best adaptations that I can think of. Because they, you know, they cover every aspect of the Batman character. And then this was, this part, it came, and it was like some of the core things about Batman. Like, I basically had to sit down and sort of evaluate, what am I supposed to do here? Why does Batman do this? And yeah, it was like, it was crazy. The game was on pause. It threatened to auto shut down a few times. I was like, oh no, stop. I just need a little more time. And I walked around trying to make my decision, and I wish I could go into more detail, but because it was really cool, I was like, oh man, that's so cool. Now, because I've talked about how Calendar Man, I think, is sort of, if you play it the way it's designed to be played in Arkham City, that is sort of like the obsessive part of Batman. It's like, who would turn on this game to listen to a serial killer like every holiday? Wait, it's like, well, Batman would.
That's Arkham Asylum, isn't it? That's not City.
It's City.
Oh, is City. It? Yeah. Calendar Man was in like a jail somewhere.
Yeah, he's under the courthouse.
And you have to go visit him on certain holidays.
Oh.
And it's like, yeah, so it takes a whole year to get this trophy. And
the
only,
right way, anyway.
Yeah. I think if you did it, like, if you cheated it, you sort of, you missed something kind of brilliant. Oh, and then, you know, like, the fighting system is like, oh, you feel skilled, but they've done it in such a way that you don't actually have to be super skilled. And, or it sort of scales with how skilled you are. And this part was just, yeah, the question was like, wow, this is like down to the core of Batman. Like, what is the point? How do you win? Why does Batman do and not do certain things? And I was just like, it was awesome.
You're in too deep, Tropical. You're in way too deep.
I really like these games. Like, how they cover all the aspects. Oh, that's so cool. So I took it probably way more seriously than other people. Other people would just be like, oh, I'll make another save file, do this thing, and then do the other thing. And I was like, no.
That would have solved a lot of your decisions.
I'm going to sit here and think about it, because that's what the game has caused me to do, and that is awesome. And speaking, I think Season of Infamy is actually not bad compared to all the other ones. The other ones, and it makes me question, like, why they couldn't do Season of Infamy-style stuff for the other ones. And the other DLCs were just, like, it was essentially like the challenge maps, except they put some cutscenes in between them. Except for, like, the Batgirl one.
I do love
and, that. Yeah, I think, like, why didn't they just set all of them in the city? So let people run around the city as Robin. Let people run around the city as some other character, and, you know, just, like, let them be in the city. Like, why did you have to make these special environments, and then they feel all disjointed, and it's like, missed
because
opportunity.
Money, my dear boy. Money.
Isn't it easier to use the stuff you already have, though? They already have a city.
Yeah, but it's just the challenge room. It's easier to just kind of just be like, hey, plop this character in here, throw a bunch of people at you, and done.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure those challenge rooms didn't make you sit down and think about the core of the characters that were going on there, so.
Missed opportunity. Because I think that's what I envisioned for all the DLC when they announced the season pass. I was like, you know, it would be cool if it was like a season of Batman. And, you know, the Batman stories from the TV series, yeah, they all happen in the city. So why not? Just, you know, make some new interiors that you can go into. But in between, let people traverse through the city and have, you know, Gotham-type stuff happening. And then it would have felt so much better, I think.
Have you seen the new trailer for Hitman today, Tropical?
Oh, no, I did not.
Oh, man.
Video?
It's not, there's like no gameplay, but it does set up the like episodic like format,
okay.
Like really cool. Like after I saw it, I was like, oh man, I'm super on board now. It's like in a world of assassination, and like every hit comes out, and it's like everybody's gonna play differently. Are you gonna be an amateur or a professional or a silent assassin? It's like, oh, and it looks so cool. It looks so cool. I was like after I saw that, I was like, goodbye Division. I'm gonna have a month of, or like I'm gonna have monthly marks to take out. So. I don't think you'll have monthly content updates in this game, so I'll pass on you, sorry.
Of course they will. Of course they will.
Just like Destiny.
Too soon, Tropical. Too soon.
Is it, though? Is it just too soon for you?
Too soon for me. I should have realized it sooner. Ugh. I don't think any game has, like, promised on the thingy that we're always talking about of, like, they just have to build the base thingy and just keep adding to it.
Yep.
And that's all they have to do. That's all they have to do is, like, just churn out stuff every whenever and people come back to play it. They don't have to make anything new. They don't have to scrap the engine and make another game 24 months from now and just sell it again. It's like, just effing keep your game updated and keep rolling out content.
Actually, games have done that. It's just that we don't play any of them. Minecraft, yeah. World of Warcraft.
You.
The MOBAs. That's a, yeah. The games that we play need to steal that stuff from the games that we don't play.
I would prefer the games I play not do that, actually, because, no, that would not be fun.
In a way, Final Fantasy 13 was like that, right?
And like I said, that would not be fun. My point was proven.
Actually, didn't... Oh man, I guess it's going to be really interesting because it's like, usually it's Western developers that do that, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do with, I keep wanting to call it Crisis Core 2, but Final Fantasy VII Remake. Mm. Since it's supposed to be episodic.
Well, it's probably going to be similar to how the Hitman one is set up or something.
Yeah.
But just,
I think it's going to be like 13, except,
Well, no, I think 15 is their plan for doing what they did similar to 13, because they've already mentioned that that's semi the plan for that. So it's probably just going to be 7 broken up into its four parts.
So you think they're going to make more than one, they're going to, like, sequelize 15 as well?
Yes, I can guarantee it.
Guess that's a new Final Fantasy era we're in. Whatever.
Unfortunately. But, I mean, I guess in all fairness, when you spend years making a game engine, you kind of want to use it. So, you don't want to just do one game and then it's like, well, time to start all over again, guys.
So, actually, I'm curious about that. Like, in your mind, is that sort of like an old school? Because to me, it feels like it's an old school way of thinking about it. You know, in the past, one of the exciting things about a new game was its new game engine. So, you know, like, when you went from, okay, not 6 to 7, because you don't like 7, but, like, 9 to 10, for example, you know, like, the jump between the technology of 9 going to 10, like, that was one of the exciting parts of a new Final Fantasy back in the day.
Yeah, but see, the issue is become a time thing now, because it seems like it's gotten longer and longer for these engines each time, and it's like, it's going to get to the point where it's going to take like 30 years just for one Final Fantasy to get released, and it's like, it's going to take too long. So.
Yeah, I guess also in the case of Final Fantasy, like, the only time we've seen them do this engine thing, the cost-effective way thing, is with Final Fantasy 13 and its sequels. And,
quote-unquote.
You know, people were like, on that.
Because the sequels were not fun.
Or I guess 10-2 was also one of those, too. Like, oh, that right. Was definitely... So... Because, you know, it doesn't have to be that way, actually. You can make different games on the same engine. Lost Odyssey is the same engine as Gears of War.
Well, I mean, a lot of ones are the same as Gears of War.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
not just that one. But no, I meant like...
The engine allows you to make lots of different stuff. It doesn't have to be
Final Fantasy
13, but kind of different. And with a different character. And a story...
I think the thing is, though, it's like, when they go through the trouble of, I think they make these engines specifically for Final, because, like, even when Luminous was being developed, they called it something like for Final Fantasy or some nonsense like that, because it was like, they made the engine specifically for that, so it's like, it seems like they only want,
was a marketing thing? I think they were like, Luminous engines, like, who's going to be excited for that? Oh, we'll just tack on a little for Final Fantasy, and then people would be like, oh, now we're interested.
Nah, I think that's pretty much how Square Enix thinks, because the fact that, like, all their other games are, like, on Unreal 4, except for that one game, kind of, like,
That's exactly what they were planning on doing. That's exactly what they're doing. Like, yep, this is for Final Fantasies, and this is happening. Everything else, Unreal 4, guys, because it's easier, and we don't have to do any extra work. So, yeah.
So do you think in 15 years, the next Final Fantasy will be on Luminous?
No.
It's 20 years?
Some new engine is what it's going to be on.
I see.
Because 15 is probably the only one. Well, 15 and the subsequent sequels will be the only ones that are on Luminous. And then whatever the new engine is for the PlayStation 5 and Xbox 2 or whatever the hell they're going to call it is going to be something that's not Luminous.
Anyway, how did we get here? Oh, right.
Reasons.
Well, I've gone through everything I've been playing. So let's hear about Digimon. It looks so pretty. Does it look really good?
It is pretty, but I mean, I think this generation was made for like anime games or I don't know how to phrase that, but that because like even like the Naruto games look gorgeous. It's like. Yep. Like anything that's like been based on like an anime just looks amazing. This
genre that doesn't use super realistic character models and just is more cartoony art style.
Yeah, it's just like the cel shading was on PS2, right? Even like Dreamcast had it, but it was like imperfect. You could only make lines that were so smooth. And on PS3, it got a little bit better, and now on PS4, you look at those things like, wow, these look better than the shows that they come from.
It's true. It's true. Because I was like, yeah, I haven't seen an anime that looked like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like, yeah, it looks gorgeous. But that aside, though. So I was playing, the hell is that game called? Trails of Cold Steel. And I finally made it to the final chapter, guys. 86 hours later. We're coming up to the finish line. I can see it in the distance. I can see it in the distance. Because I'm assuming whatever the hell I'm fighting now is the final boss, because he party wiped me, like, in 3 turns. So, like, well, see how this is going to go. So I'm guessing he is the last boss, and he effing better be, because, dear God, this game is long. And it's like, okay, guys. Okay. And the funny thing is, despite this game being so long, there's like 50,000 open questions that still need to be answered. So it's like, guess that means there's that guaranteed sequel coming, which is also going to be like 90 hours and also probably full of more questions. So it's like, yay, 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 excite. So yeah.
Oh, we're going to be tied soon.
Well, no.
For one finish, or maybe not soon.
I still have to actually beat it, so so no, you're safe for now. But yeah, it's like, I don't know what's been going on with these final bosses lately, but it's like, everyone's like, LOL, you got this far, so now, no, you can't beat this game. Which sucks now, because if I can't beat this boss, then that means I spent 90 hours doing this, and I can't start over, because it's too late. It's too late. So... I don't know. And you can't change the difficulty once you start, so I'm stuck beating this thing on hard and hoping for the best, because if I can't do it, then I'm screwed. So, yay. Yay. So worth it, guys. So worth it. But yeah. It's been a fun little roller coaster, though. So I'm just kind of hoping that I am actually capable of beating this thing and devoting my time to other stuff, because I think I've sunk enough hours into Trails of Cold Steel, which while I did enjoy, it's like it was super long. And although I don't think I have any other Vita games right now anyway, so I guess there's like no actual hurry to finish it until there's something else for the Vita out, I guess. But yeah. Fun ride. But other than that, I picked up Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth on Tuesday. So I've just been mostly playing that. And it's like the way it's set up is like very similar to like Pokemon is now, because like, I mean, you guys probably haven't played any of the previous like
random Digimon games that got released over here, but it's like they were usually kind of like more like arena style kind of thing. So it's basically like a game full of like the Pokemon gym battles would be more accurate, I guess. Actually, it'd be more similar to Monster Rancher. That's probably more accurate. Yeah. Let's go with that. It's more similar to Monster Rancher. But this one is like a straight up RPG this time. So it's like you collect your, well, you don't actually collect them either, actually, when I think about it. So, how do I explain this?
There are Digimon, and they are in the game.
They are. Because it's
on
like,
your side.
Because the way it's set up is like this, or the story set up is like, apparently Digimon are like these hacker tools. So like, people who are hackers use Digimon, and Digimon are kind of like the brute force version of like a hack, kind of. So it's like, people who have them are like considered bad people. But so like at the beginning of the game, like this guy who you're playing as and his friends are all like invited to this place by this mysterious guy who's like, hey, I got a surprise for you guys. And they're like, cool. So they go, and then he hacks all their accounts and turns them all into hackers. And then they're all like, no, we're hackers now. So they all get to use Digimon now. So the way it works is like, when you find a Digimon, when you're like running around or whatever, it's like it scans them, or like there's like a program that scans them that you have, and like once you get like 100% on the scan for them, then you can actually like create the Digimon from the data thingy, and then you kind of like raise them and all that fun stuff to like change them into different forms and all that jazz. It's, I mean, so yeah, then like during it or something, you get like attacked by this eater thing, and it turns you into like this half cybernetic body, half not cybernetic body thing. So then you're like part data, part not. So then you become a cyber sleuth, because it's the only logical conclusion to that. And you like solve these various like cyber crimes that are going on, because now you have the ability to like enter the internet and computer terminals and all this other stuff to, you know, solve these problems that people are having with random glitches and everything. So it's basically your job. But then there's some secondary thing going on where there's like these supernatural phenomena happening, because like the world is like clashing with something else. It's weird. But so basically you're like tasked with solving these cases and all this fun stuff. Now, I was playing through it, but like since like when I started, my goal was to actually like collect like certain Digimon. I ended up like spending hours doing that instead of progressing in the game. So it's like I had spent like 20 something hours just trying to form like the season one team of Digimon as opposed to actually playing in the game. So I was like doing that a bunch of times. And it's like, because like for each one to like digivolve or whatever, you need like specific requirements. Like they have to have certain speed stats or certain ability stats and all this other stuff. And then you can actually level them or digivolve them, or some of them you can digivolve all of them, but it's like you can go back and forth between the different ones, and you can, since they inherit the skills that they had in their previous forms, you can kind of carry that over to other Digimon if you turn them into something else. So that's it's a way to like get different Digimon different skills. So so basically you can create like your own team, and the Digimon have their signature skills that they have in the shows, and they kind of like learn other stuff like magic and other stuff to fight and do battles with and everything. So, but I, like I said, I've mainly been just like trying to build up my team. I already got like the full season one team and everything, and everybody's like almost at ultimate level now. And then I got like two of the DNA Digivolve forms from the season two team, and I'm trying to get the season three team, but I don't know how to get one of the characters, because she doesn't seem to spawn from any of the baby forms, so I don't actually know if she's available in the game or not. But I do have two of the three of them as well, and they're both champion level now. So it's like I'm basically just working my way through like to get the team set up, just so I can have them and be like, yay, nostalgia from all the seasons of Digimon except Saber, because I didn't like that one. So it's like, yay, yay.
I've missed you all.
So it's like great to like see them in battle, and then when they do like their cross combos and they're all like attack at the same time and stuff, and it's like, yay, it's just like the show, except it's in a game. So I'm actually curious if like the season 4 people are in there, because they didn't really count as Digimon. So, haven't seen any of them yet, so I'm assuming not, but yeah. For the most part, all the Digimon are, like, accounted for, at least from seasons 1 through 3 and 5 currently. So, yeah. Fun times. But that's pretty much all I've been playing.
Okie dokie.
Moving on to middle segment. What did you call it at the beginning? I don't remember. Something about... Well, so, recently I've decided that I have no money. Or I have like upcoming expenses.
There's a decision that one has to make.
No, it's like I have upcoming expenses. It's like, okay, so I need to cut back a lot, and I've decided. Or so in the beginning, you know, like if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you know, we Gamer and I especially, we buy a lot of stuff, and then not even talking about the not necessarily playing them. It's just like, you know, we like being. What did he call it before? Being part of the zeitgeist?
Oh, yeah, the zeitgeist.
It's like, you have to play it when it's new, and that's, like, that's the time.
He's wrong, by the way. I totally...
Yeah, like, I agreed with him at first, or for probably a long time, and then recently...
Man, Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed changed my life. And I thought Sonic, I thought Sega, I thought they were done. I thought they were, like, that was it. Like, Sonic Generations, that's all you're going to get. They can never make a good game again. And then I played that game, and I was like, ah, there's still hope left.
Yeah, like that. Because I, you know, on the one hand, I was like, oh, I like being part of the zeitgeist. But on the other hand, I also believe that any game that you haven't played is a new game. And it doesn't matter when it came out.
Well, new to you anyway, because you haven't played it, so.
Exactly, yeah. So I sort of sat around for a few days like, oh, it sucks that I can't buy all these games. But on the other hand, I have tons of games. And, you know, it just... So I guess the topic is sort of revisiting the sort of buying plans that we've had many different types over the years. In fact, like, I think when the podcast started, Tekken was on his one game a month thing.
Was I?
Yeah, you were talking about it. Like, nope.
I'm weird.
Game a month. And then there was the year where you didn't... Was it half a year? You didn't buy anything?
Oh, is that the game moratorium? Yeah. PS4 to save up. Yeah. That was weird.
And then you're like, oh, I have all this money. And at one point you're talking about how you were never doing it again. You're just going to buy the games and something about you either die... having finished the backlog or playing everything that's existed. So, I mean, I guess, yeah, 2016. What is the plan? What is your plan for this year?
For me, it's just ride the wave of stuff I already have. And then if I'm looking forward to it, depending on how much my frothing at the mouth is to like, blah, 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 let's play it, blah, blah, like either get it day one or just wait and see. Cause, you know, I might play something and it'll just beat me into the ground. And it's like, you know what? I don't think I should play something like this ever again in my life. So it doesn't get ruined. And I'll just give it a wait and see approach. Destiny. Thanks. You can think, or Division. You can thank Destiny for that because yeah. Totally gonna wait now because not happening. Or, you know, I got, and then like, there's stuff I'm looking forward to because I know it's a known quantity and it's like, oh, well, this agrees with me and I know I'm gonna have fun with it, like Street Fighter and Far Cry this month. It's like, well, I mean, that's two games in 1 month, but I know I will have time to set aside and play them and have fun. And I know I'm gonna like them. If I don't, whatever. I guess I was wrong that one time. They haven't told me yet, so.
Do you anticipate more sort of Destiny situations with games that you're frothing at the mouth for?
I don't think so, just because it's, like we were just talking about, like, nobody went all in on making multiplayer co-op focused games, so there's not a bunch of them to, like, be excited about.
Well, I mean, maybe not the exact situation as Destiny, but just games that you're really excited for and then turn out to be maddeningly. I love you, I hate you!
Well, that happened with Arkham Knight to an extent because I was just so, like, pumped and, like, my expectations were so high and it just, it just crash and burn. And it's like, you know, I mean, that was like maybe the one game that did that last year. So it's like 1 out of 10, eh, 9 times out of 10, you're good. So it's like, as long as I'm excited about it and I'm hyped for it, it's like, I'm going to check it out regardless. So if I've been hit by the hype ray, that does not fail to work on me. Unless something can just come along and completely negate that effect, like Destiny, that's not gonna happen. So, everything I'm hyped for is in the clear. And I'll just check it out when it comes out.
Do you anticipate doing more like one game a month things or like game moratoriums? I know
only
like
if
you
I,
haven't
like,
bought
need to
anything
save up for stuff.
Okay,
because like PlayStation VR, I don't think I have enough money to buy that right now. So maybe if like at E3, if I like PlayStation VR is like they show it and it's like, oh man, I need to start saving up. I gotta put my one game a month back into play. So
because you haven't gotten anything on a Steam sale in like months, probably.
Well, the thing about that is I basically just switched over to PS4, oh. And then my PC can't play anything that's on PC that's like awesome. So, and I don't. Oh, that's the other thing is like if I have to buy another computer like whenever to play something awesome. So, ugh, that's gonna be terrible.
Yeah.
It's like, my computer can do a lot of things, but it can't play, well, it can play games, but it can't, like, play anything new at ultra settings, and it's like, do I really need to do that? No, I have a PS4, so, until that changes, there's no reason to really care about it. If I could just find the time to play those PC games, ugh, I played The Witcher for, like, 10 hours, and then I just stopped playing it, so.
RPG with no backlog. I haven't gone through all the podcasts, but have you ever done one of these things, one of these buying plans that we've occasionally committed ourselves to? RPG.
Okay.
Yes, I will go into my plan then. Like, yeah, I. On the one hand, like, it's very conflicting emotions because it's like, oh, I want to play some of this new stuff that seems really cool, like Firewatch coming out and Walking Dead Michonne and The Witness. And
crap, that does come out soon. Damn
yeah,
it.
It's just like all this ridiculous stuff that's coming out in February. But, I mean, I guess I'm pretty proud. Like, so far I haven't bought anything this year. And proud and sad, I suppose. Proud that I've saved money, sad that I don't have any of them. But I do have tons of stuff. Like, I have you ever heard of the Indie Box?
No.
It's like, you know, how indie developers can't, like, digital distribution allows indie developers to exist, basically. So, yeah. But there are still people who like physical, and so some company decided, we're going to make physical versions of indie games and send them out to people monthly.
That's cool.
They pick one every month. Like, this month was Nuclear Throne, actually. And different than previously, you get a Steam copy and PlayStation copies of it, so it's very nice. Yeah, so I have that. That's like PC games coming in on a regular basis. I did the PlayStation Now thing for a year, and they just announced like a whole bunch of Deep Silver games on that. But anyway, there's like 300 PS3 games on there, and I've played, or not played, I finished maybe 12 of them ever. So I have that. And yeah, it basically goes back to the thing in the beginning where I was talking about, you know, the best value in gaming is you buy a PS4 and you buy a PlayStation Plus and you're kind of set.
Yep.
But in addition to part of that is like all the free to play stuff that exists now. So Heroes of the Storm, I've been playing a ton and that is free. Guns Up, I actually have been playing that quite a bit too, and that was free. And, in a way, Destiny is free too, because I already bought it.
The problem with free-to-play, though, is like those games never end. So it's like they will always be possibly sucking your time away from something you could be doing or playing.
But I guess that's the thing. Like, if I want to play stuff, I definitely have stuff to play.
Yeah.
And it's sort of this conflict between, like, why am I playing? Am I playing to have fun, or am I playing because I'm interested in games and I, you know, like to see what's out there. And so that's like where it sort of falls apart. It's like, if you can't buy new games, you can't really see what's out there because, like, you can't access the stuff that's coming out. But then, yeah, then there's the other side. It's like, well, even old stuff that you haven't played before is new, so
yeah.
I'm in a weird place emotionally right now about this.
I actually did, like, just remember, I do kind of have, like, a sort of a buying thing this year. It's like, I'm trying to just, like, have my, like, give myself, like, an allowance of $100, like, every month on my, mm-hmm. like, to add to my PSN wallet, and then, like, only buy stuff on sale and, like, not brand new and, like, don't go over budget and, like, see how that goes. But then it's like, there's, like, this month is so loaded. It's like, there's no way I can spend $100 and, like, get everything I want. It's like,
I mean, just Street, or I guess you already paid for Street Fighter.
Yeah, I already paid for Street Fighter.
Far Cry.
Cause like in that situation, it's like a matter of like, well, if I do get it, then I have to finish it. I can't just like get it and then be like, well, got it, but it's just going to sit there. But then luckily I've basically been set free from Destiny. So there's that. But then February is like an anomaly because I gave myself like a streaming schedule. Like I'm going to stream games with minority characters because of Black History Month. So it's like, it's kind of like cutting even more into my time. So it's like, I can't be, I'm still not free yet. So yeah, next month it'll pass. It's like, I can never get over the hump. It's like, come on.
You think Far Cry Primal is white caveman?
No, I don't know Chapter
1. Neither do I. But like Street Fighter V definitely has minority characters.
So, but this is just like one of those games where it's like, I feel like I just like crack out and like get through it in no time. And then it's like on to the next one. So unless it's just like somehow like twice as big as Far Cry 4, which I don't see happening. So,
Yeah. RPG, I guess, is back?
Yes? Maybe.
Yes. Do you have you ever done any of these buying, purchasing plans that we're talking about?
What do you mean?
Like the one game a month plan or
the game moratorium. Yes. I'm not going to buy any games.
No, I just buy the stuff I want. And
apparently kind of, finish it. So you don't.
Kind of
I don't know, Tropical. Well, he doesn't have any points this year for games finished. So. Can't exactly say that.
Well, I've only bought like 3 games this year so far. So
oh for 3. Oh for 3.
It doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
Wait, it's only 2 right? games.
Oh, oh for 2.
Wait, Legend Trails Cold Steel
came out last year.
Not yesterday. Last year.
Yeah.
Digimon, so it's Mario. Like Mario, Paper Jam, Final Fantasy Digimon. Explorers, and
well,
Digimon.
Well, Explorers is not going to be it's not a finishable game, it's Monster Hunter.
Is that true? That one's not finishable either?
That's how that genre works.
Officially. That's like some final boss.
And then they like, no, because even like after the final bosses, there's like, then they give you like a bunch of optional stuff that you could just do just for funsies, and then they always update games like that like monthly or something. So it's like they don't end; they're just there for you to play until you're just like, I'm good, I've explored enough, and then you're done.
And that's why I don't play games like that.
I think, yeah, that's where I'm going to be for a while. Well, I don't know if there was a conclusion to be drawn here or anything. It's just
So what do you do, like, RPG, if you have, like, a bunch of games coming out around the same time, do you have to, like, sacrifice which ones you're going to get or just, like, get the ones you really want?
It's rare that many games that I definitely want come out, except for, like, last year, there was, like, that one month where it's, like, 6 or 7 games, and I was like, this is nonsense. And then I just bought, like, just, like, the 2 I really wanted, because I was like, okay, there's no way I'm going to be able to play all of these if I get them all, so I just won't. And I'll just get the ones I was most excited about when they were announced, so. Because otherwise, you're just going to end up buying a bunch of stuff and not finishing it, because, yeah, I can guarantee you I would not have finished most of those games that came out that month had I gotten them all. But I did finish Bloodborne and Type-0, so yeah, take that, March.
Because I saw it on the store, Unravel comes out next year. I was like, man, Yarny, I can't not pre-order. Oh, but then I'm like, Street Fighters, a week after that. Oh, Far Cry. What? No, and then I'm streaming stuff every day, so I don't know how to die. Oh no. Why did I do this to myself?
See, that's what I say to myself too. But then I also say, well, I can play this stuff. But back and forth.
And it also depends on like what the price is of it, because it's like, I mean, and I was like either $20 or $15, which isn't that bad. So it's like something like what just came out, the re-release of that Vita game.
Gravity Rush?
Yeah, Gravity Rush. It's like $40. I'm like, I want to get it, but it's like, I'll just wait. Like, same thing with that. And The Witness is like, Witness I was high on, but like, I have issues with doors, and there's a lot of puzzles in that game with doors, and there's a lot of doors.
Apparently,
in
general. It's super hard.
That too. I see a gamer like tweeting about it all the time. Of like, I'm stuck. I'm like, a gamer can't get through it. I know I can't get through it. So it's like, I'm not even gonna bother. It's like, I'm just gonna wait for it to go. So like, I'm gonna save myself the embarrassment of like, yeah, I got to this door. There's a puzzle. I'm still stuck. Next week on the podcast, couldn't get past that door. Still stuck on it. Oh, I got past this one. I'm stuck again. It's like, yeah, I'll just hold out for a cell on that one.
Wait,
and then,
The Witness is a puzzle game?
Yeah,
open world puzzle game. It's like an
interesting.
There's some other game, something, I forgot what it's called. It's like a two-word game title, like space exploration and stuff. And I was like, oh man, this looks so cool, I didn't know it was coming up. But it's like, I know I won't have time to play it, so I'll just wait for a sale on it or something, so it's whatever.
Rebel Galaxy?
Yeah, Rebel Galaxy. I was like, man, this is like, it's up my alley. You can go through the galaxy, talk to aliens. It's not Mass Effect, but whatever. I don't care, it's in space, doing stuff. I like those types of games, so. But alas. Too much this month already, so yeah. Sunday. And that other game that was like a something the radio platforming with music that looked really cool, I wanted to get it, but yeah.
Well, yeah. Thankfully, I only have one more game this month, and then I don't have anything until April, so I can like actually finish all this stuff. And then it's just going to be Dark Souls until the summer, and then Persona 5 until next year. So
I guess like on the bright side, at least there are like a ton of awesome downloadable games coming out where it's like there's always something to play if you ever do finish your backlog or have time to check something out that's cheap on the store. It's like, oh man, let me check this out. It's $5. I think even Dragon Age Game of the Year Edition is on sale and like there's $45 worth of DLC in it. So I'm like,
wow.
I'd rather just get that on sale than buy the DLC like for more than that, even though I already have the game. So I might just do that because even though I haven't played the original version or whatever, so... Never get around to it. Ugh, curses. Because I have like $20 in my wallet right now on PSN, so it's like, I could get something, or I could get Unravel, or I could just wait and see. What do I do? And Firewatch, man, yeah, that's true. I know Firewatch is going to be awesome, so it's like, I'm totally getting that. I don't care. I'm going to like break any rule to like get that game.
What is Firewatch?
It's like a first person, you're like doing stuff with this person on the radio. I mean, you're not doing stuff with the person on the radio. Like, they're in a tower talking to you. And then you're talking back to them about like the stuff you see,
Predator.
And like, yeah, there's like some weird things. Like, there's some, it like alludes in the trailer that there's somebody out in the park doing stuff, and you got to find them, but you don't have any weapons, so it's like, ooh.
So he is a predator. Oh no. 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 There's a prowler on the loose. A prowler.
See, I don't see what you see. In my mind, all those words are conjuring up images of like panthers and
that's your
other
problem.
Cats of prey.
Cats of prey. I don't think that's a thing. I don't think that's a thing.
It's like when we say predator, we mean cats of prey.
Yes.
And the alien.
Isn't prowler good. Like the name of a cat?
No.
Type animal?
It's the name of a car. I don't think it's the name of a cat, Tropical. I think
the
that's just
car
an named
the prowler?
Yeah.
Probably.
Is it a tank?
No, it's not a tank.
Yes, Tropical is a tank.
Oh, man, just like that one game. I'm a tank. I never got to play that.
There was a game called I'm a Tank?
No, that was like the catchphrase for the hero. He's like, I'm a tank. It's all pixelated.
Oh.
It's on PS3. Is something hero? Something?
I have never heard of this, and...
I thought you played it. Every chance you played it. I forgot
which one it is.
No. Oh,
just,
whatever.
You're just making this up. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, what's it called? Everyday Hero? Something.
Are you talking about... No? I didn't... Are you talking about Half Minute Hero? Because if that's it,
No, it's not Half Minute Hero.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Because the only one I could think of would be the ZHP one, and I don't think that's what you're talking about.
Nope.
Because that was not on the PS3, so I have no idea.
Yeah, well, there's actually like more robots and flightcraft that are named Prowlers than there are animals, because there's no animals when I look it up on Wikipedia that are named Prowler, which is surprising.
Why would they name an animal Prowler? That is... So, of course there isn't a... animal name.
Because they saw what it was doing and
no,
you know, limited imagination, and they're like, it's a prowler.
Do you have any idea how much strikes people They're like, oh my gosh, there's a prowler on the loose in the city. It's a prowler on the loose in the city.
Call animal control.
Wait, it's an animal? I don't know. I don't know. It's a prowler. So yes, that seems like a very bad idea. Very bad idea.
Hmm. All right. Should we look at some news?
Oh, I forgot that I didn't talk about Final Fantasy Explorers. I thought I talked about it last time. I was like, wait a minute. I didn't talk about Explorers, did I?
That's great.
I only forgot until Tropical mentioned it. Right, I did play that. Totally did.
Oh, yeah, so you've been tweeting with Dagger about it all the time.
I do. That's,
I'm surprised you've heard about it, too.
Because you can't finish it. And so it's like part of life.
It's something that happens. I'm just like, I've accepted this. And it's probably because I had been playing Digimon so much beforehand, so. Whoops. On to the news.
Oh, yeah. There was a book series called, I think it was called Fortunately, Unfortunately. Do you remember that? Anyone?
I feel like no. just like today is just your day to just make, and you're just like, you know what, guys? I'm just gonna make up everything about everything because I can, and this is what's happening.
That was a real thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I found the name. It's 3D Dot Heroes. 3D Dot Game Heroes.
That the game. I do not remember him saying.
Tagline was "I'm a tank."
Well, the tagline wasn't "I'm a tank," but like there was an ad where he's like, "I'm a tank."
Oh, because it was similar to the Old Spice commercial things. And he was okay. That's why I didn't know what you were talking about. I was like, "What?" But yes, I did play that game.
Anyways, I bring up Fortunately, Unfortunately because...
Because you like to make things up. Yes, we've established this.
I don't know. The first two news stories were like that. And, like, I think it was for children or maybe young readers because it was basically... It was rhythmic, like... Or it was... I don't know what the term is. It was a patterned type of writing. Anyway, you know what? We're going to forget that. I will find it. It does exist. Older people, back me up here.
don't back him up. He's insane. He's insane.
This year was the 10th... It is the 10th anniversary of Platinum Games. Which
Yay.
They celebrated on Monday. Which is... that's kind of crazy. I mean, it feels like it was just yesterday when Okami was getting... Like... Wait. Is it related to Okami? Is Platinum related to Okami?
Project Scenes was like the team, I think that
it's like they were responsible for Platinum? It. Clover,
yeah,
and then things went down at Capcom, and then they became Platinum.
Yeah. Capcom, yeah. You and your shenanigans.
The God Hand as well.
That does not feel like 10 years ago, and yet somehow it is. And they've made all this stuff since then. Beautiful Joe, way back in the day. Okay, Beautiful Joe does make it feel like okay, maybe it is. It has been 10 years. And yeah, that company has a lot of games coming out pretty soon.
All of the games.
All of the games. Of them.
That's They're like, hey guys, recently. I'm just going to make everything because like reasons.
Scalebound, Recore. Did that get pushed back, Recore?
I have no idea.
I saw saying it got
delayed. Wait, they're making that too?
Platinum's making everything.
Is Recore the game by
I'm
the...
Wrong. That's Kenji...
I was about to say, Mega Man, yeah.
Nope.
Scalebound is theirs. Platinum. Scalebound, TMNT. Yeah.
Like, yeah, every
Star
decent
Fox,
licensed,
I think is theirs.
Licensed action-adventure game, because nobody else can do it as good as them. Just saying.
Well, we were hoping for a Rocksteady TMNT game, but,
it's not gonna happen.
Well, you know, Tropical, after how things went down with Arkham Knight, I don't really care about Rocksteady anymore, so...
Oh,
F them.
It's like that.
Yeah, it's like that, because they know what they did. They kind of like... There's a little graph there where it's like going up, Arkham City, going up, Arkham Origins, going up, Arkham Knight, kind of a dip. Just kind of dip, doesn't exactly, go out on a home run.
Arkham Origins, did they?
No, they didn't, but it was the same series, and it's like, oh, someone else took your stuff and did a better job than you, just saying. Because, yeah, like I'm going to keep saying, best 3D combat game of last generation, hands down. Nobody comes close. Not even Platinum. Maybe Platinum comes close, like Bayonet or something, or whatever. Or that one game I can't think of I can't think of WoW.
Good job.
Awesome. The like third person mech thingy.
Sliding
not mech.
Around. Vanquish.
Yeah. Vanquish, that one. Yeah. That was cool.
Sliding around. I love how that was like the mechanic.
That was like, that power slide. On my knees.
It wasn't really like sliding around. It's just like, you know,
it was.
With
it was
your,
like a rocket slide.
It was, yeah.
Like,
it was weird.
It was like a thing.
So yeah. So the way it went was, fortunately, Platinum Games is 10 years old. Unfortunately, Dust by 14 is getting shut down on May 30th.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
It was the massive online shooter set in the EVE universe.
Yeah.
I guess they've decided that people aren't really playing it anymore, and so they've discontinued all of the in-app purchases, and the game will be shut down May 30th. They are working on, so the team that made Dust is working on another shooter based in EVE, and I guess they'll announce that at a later point. And then everything else is fortunate, so yeah, I don't know why I brought it up in the first place. But, yeah. Because it was cool, and I don't
you're
know.
Insane.
It just it came
and like
it,
to make things
it popped
up.
Into my head when I looked at it. Like, oh, this one's good. Oh, this one's not good. Oh, this one's
I'm
good.
I'm going to Google that now. Fortunate, unfortunate. See what comes up.
It's going to come up with Tropical's name.
Adverb. It's the adverb.
It's going to be like, yeah, this guy, Tropical. This guy right here.
Oh, wait. It says fortunate, unfortunate game.
I don't think that's the same thing.
Oh, it says it's a word game.
What? No.
See? Told you, Tropical, just making stuff up.
Well, I mean, there's one that's like, fortunately, unfortunately, is a word game, first played at conventions of the National Puzzle League in the 1980s. It was invented, blah, 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 blah. Yes, I'm saying. Oh, there's a book, though. It says book. There's a children's book named Fortunately by someone that follows in the same pattern, first published in 1964.
Ah, yes. I think it's that one. Maybe. Moving on. Yes, they've revealed new details and apparently a trailer for Hitman coming to PS4. Exclusive stuff for PS4 is the beta, which starts February 12th, I think.
Oh my gosh, there's too much in February.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even play the beta.
I'm still not clear exactly on what the episodic and major live events thing is, but since I didn't watch this trailer, that's probably why.
Maybe the live event is like everyone's like competing for a specific mark or something.
No, I think I went back and like watched all the old trailers, and it seems like they're just gonna like introduce marks or targets, and then like you only have like a set amount of time to like get those, and then like depending on like how well you take them down, like if you like your rating or whatever, it's gonna like correlate with like whatever rewards you get from that event or from that target.
It would have been cooler if there was like a competing assassins thing. Was there a movie like that? When it's like everybody was after like the Wang Yai, but they all had like their own methods of doing stuff?
I think it was like something something aces or something.
Smoking aces?
I think that was it. Yeah, because it's like everybody had like their own specialty or something, so they were like trying to take...
But I only saw the trailer, and that's what it seemed like. I'll look it up.
I watched it, because that's the one I was talking about. But yeah. Because there's, like, one that was, like, the super sniper, this one that was, like, skilled at infiltration or something like that. And it's, like, so everybody has, like, their own...
The trailer says the hit goes down 2007.
It'd be cool if they had a game like that. It's, like, everyone, like, chooses their own... Because for people like me who are terrible at, like, stealth, and it's, like, well, frontal assault, guys. So, it's, like, we don't have our own methods of doing things. So it's, like, yeah, I can't be predatory like Tropical. And his predator. So it's like, it's cool though. I got these grenades and this rocket launcher. So yeah, something's gonna die today.
I mean, I guess that's what Hitman is gonna be like in a way.
Yeah, because everybody's gonna do the hits differently,
yeah.
And then
it's just not
not
the style where it's like everyone is doing it at the same time to the same target.
That would be, that'd be counterintuitive.
That's,
I think.
No,
I think
how
would you reward?
Seriously, awesome.
I think you would have to do it as like a four player because you couldn't do the whole Hitman.
That would, yeah, that'd be extremely chaotic.
Like 10,000 people,
1 million assassins.
One guy.
Man, that poor guy. Like, who did you piss off? Like, who? But yeah, I mean, well, obviously they could do it like with like small squads, and it's not like the actual game itself, kind of like the live event thing. If they just set, like
once a month.
Actually would
or maybe if they had like ghost AI that like you could see everybody else in the world while you're doing yours, that would be weird.
I think
not ghost AI, but like a time trials ghost thing.
Yeah.
Like in Super Meat Boy or something where it's like you see all the everybody else's attempts as you're doing yours. That'd be super distracting though.
The Dark Souls kind of do that one too with the people the ghost of people running around.
Yeah.
It's like, look at all these assassins that aren't here, but they were at one point.
I would actually like to do something like that, though. To do at least, like, 4 or 5 people just, like, going after this one target. It's like, here's your mark. And it's like, but nobody knows what the other one looks like or something. So it's like, you're all, like, interfering with each other's attempts. Man, that was great.
I think, wow, yeah, I could
think about really this. Like, it's funny they haven't done this in Assassin's Creed yet. It's like, you all have the target. Kill the target. Whoever gets them first wins. Do whatever.
Yeah, why haven't they? Because, I mean, there has been, like, multiplayer Assassin's Creed, so it's like, why haven't they done
that? Like, stealth is the way to go, but if you go loud, that works too, whatever.
Well, see, like, thinking about it in the context of Hitman, it might be, maybe they can't make the target smart enough, because, like, if everyone plays stealth style, then it could be really cool and it would work, but then if it's free in the way that Hitman is, and someone decides to go, like, guns blazing, then suddenly everyone has to go guns blazing. Because, like, the target like would be like, oh, crap! Everybody. Someone's coming for me guns blazing! And then, like, no one would be able to get to him.
Or that could actually work against you, because then it's like, well, now your bodyguards are on high alert, so you can't use your frontal assault. So then it's like, now you're forced to do something else. So it's like, but I guess they would have to, like, have an AI that's, like, smart enough to adapt to stuff like
that. The AI would have to be really smart. I think at this point in the way that we've seen game AI, it would probably turn into like a evolved type game where it's like one person is the target.
Oh, that would be
awesome.
And
they have to like hide in the crowd and stuff.
Or like outsmart the assassins or something. It's like, hire these bodyguards. Or it's like,
but then, you know, that's not really the same as what you're talking about. Like the way you're talking about. Because, like, the person playing the target is never going to be like, I'm just at a party. Yay, it's fun time. They're going to be like, who's trying to kill me? Is it that guy?
Or are they? Because that they could probably deceive you that way, though, because if they're, like, not panicking, then it's like, does this person know that I'm coming after him?
Or it's like maybe the only person that is like tipped off to the security is the person that goes in guns blazing. So it's like the other people still are not alerted to the authorities aren't alerted to the presence of the other three. While the first person to like go loud,
like, yeah, has
like
to run away from cops and stuff because it's like you kind of let yourself be known. So.
Actually, I wonder if Grand Theft Auto Online already has something like that. But yeah, you're right. It's weird that Assassin's Creed doesn't have that game mode. That sounds like a really cool thing. Where it's not, like, cooperative, which they've done.
Kill the target first.
Yeah. Whoever gets him first.
Like, guys, we all want him dead. Why are we competing? Shut up.
Money. I'm here for the money. Yeah,
that would be kind of fun, though.
That would be really cool. Something to think about, listeners, anyone working on Assassin's Creed, or whatever.
Well, supposedly there's that co-op mode in Unity, but I don't know if anybody played it, or if it's any good, so it's whatever.
That's still co-op.
It's not
this Smoking Aces thing. Maybe no one. Maybe
that could be its own game, actually.
Yeah.
It's like, there's just a bunch of like hits that you have to make, and then like if you don't make the hit, you're stuck on that level until you progress, until you get it first,
and
then you can progress to the next one.
Or if you're like such a bad assassin, they're just like, okay, you've been forced to retire. You have to do the next season or something. So it's like it only goes down to like the top assassins for like the
man. Yeah, this like that would totally work because like then you could like reward people with like awesome gear or something, and then like you see somebody like really awesome gear, it's like they're an awesome bad assassin. It's like they're totally going to kill this person before me. I have no chance here.
Now I wish that game existed.
Well, there's always E3 Chapter Cole.
Yep.
I'm sure Sony's listening. They're like, oh, Analyst has done it again. Let's get a team on that. Put it right under Identify. Yep. On the list.
The March cover of Game Informer is Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens, a new Lego Star Wars game coming out in June. Hopefully that's some sort of indication of when I will be able to binge watch that movie over and over again at home. Because, man, it was amazing.
Well, it's probably going to come out sooner than that, because...
It's funny, though, because, like, I was looking on the store on PlayStation to, like, see, like, the like, ones you could buy, and then it, like, said it's only 2-channel, and I was like, psh, I'm buying the Blu-ray. F that crap. It was like 15 bucks to pre-order it, and I was like, 15 bucks? And I was like, two-channel audio.
Wait.
Downvote.
Is the $15 one the HD one?
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. I was like, oh, dude, it's HD? Two-channel audio, though. Nope. These gold headsets, 7-1, maybe. So, sorry, Sony. Can't do that.
The release date for Danganronpa Trigger Happy Havoc for Steam has been revealed. It's next month. And I lost it.
Good job. Now you're picking up release dates.
There we go.
If you haven't played the game, now's your chance. There's no excuse now.
Anyway, yeah, next month it'll be out. Disgaea PC is coming out February 24th, so that stuff is starting to roll in. Other PC gaming stuff, if you have Origin, Need for Speed Most Wanted by Criterion is now the on-the-house game, so that's free. PlayStation Now, they added a bunch of games. Like, the service is up to 300 games now, and they added the Saints Row 4 Dead Island games, Sacred, one of the spin-off ones, and the Metro games, so that's all on there. And then this one, I don't know if this is for the US or whatever. This is supposed to roll out in 39 countries, but Nintendo has announced that there's going to be a new Nintendo reward system called My Nintendo. There will be two types of currency, gold and platinum.
Two types of currency, whatever, dude. Oh, wait, no, it's like the reward system there. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like, okay, I was about to get like super angry. Because, like, somebody needs to like, do something where they like have the whole thing and like the PSN is where it's like not terrible like Nintendo is now. Please don't, no. F this up.
So apparently it's like gold you get from buying 3DS and Wii U games. So that's sort of like the old Club Nintendo points. Mm-hmm. And then platinum you get from playing Nintendo apps and logging onto the eShop.
Ew.
So I don't know what that is.
Double ew. Who uses apps these days?
And then this stuff is going to be, you know, you'd be able to use it for some sort of rewards. Not exactly clear. Rewards and discounts. They also say that Miitomo, which is their first mobile app, is coming out sometime mid-March. And you can start pre-registering access to it February 17th. And again, I don't know if this is for North America. This was at some sort of meeting, briefing that they held in Japan.
Oh. So we might not be getting that as well.
This is going to be, like, weird. Like, to me, it's like this could go, like, either way. It's like, either Nintendo's going to, like, do this thing where it's, like, they put all their stuff on, like, phones and everything, and it's, like, 1,000 times more successful than it was, like, on their handhelds, because it wasn't, like, a, like, niche market of, like, oh, people that play games, now it's on phones, and billions of people have phones, and Nintendo's, like, a ginormous brand that everybody knows about, and it's, like, oh, super awesome and successful, or it's just gonna be, like, it's not gonna be, like, as successful as, like, you know, scenario A, but it'll be decent, so...
But, like, social games are, like, really
it'll be depressing if, like, A happens, because it's like, oh, they didn't need these handhelds in the first place, and they're going to stop supporting them, and that's the end of handheld gaming. That's it. There we go. Like, no more. It's like, oh, we can make millions and billions off of these, and not have to worry about ever making another Fire Emblem proper on a handheld console.
Well, I mean, they don't make Fire Emblem, but that aside, I mean, it's just, like, well, in Japan, it's just that mobile's, like, or, like, social stuff is, like, really popular there, though, isn't it? It's just, like...
It's like mobile stuff is really popular.
Is mobile stuff popular everywhere though?
Yeah, but I mean, like, in the sense that, you know.
Isn't the way the wind's blowing? That's why I'm scared.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It's like, no more 3DSs or Vitas.
I don't think they're gonna stop making handhelds because phones.
I don't know, dude. The sales numbers are high enough, and it's like, price is low enough. We don't need to make this hardware.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
It's just, I think what's gonna happen is it's just gonna be more and more divergent. So, you know, Vita had games that were kind of like mobile games, and that was probably not the way to go. Like, if all Vita games had been insane-looking, like, PS3 level-looking games, I think it would have done better, actually. Because people wouldn't look at it and be like, well, I could get this, or I could get a phone, and have a phone that also plays similar-type games. And also the self-driving car thing. When that becomes big... That's when they're going to release a new Vita.
Man, I can't wait for self-driving cars. Oh my gosh. I just can't wait.
It will be nice.
I'm so over driving. So over it.
Did either of you read Offworld at all?
I think I read like an article or two.
No.
Ah. Well, the current curators, Lee Alexander and Laura Hudson, are leaving the site. Lee Alexander is apparently retiring from games writing.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, I was like, what? Made me sad. But, they're leaving something behind. They're kickstarting a hardcover book, the Offworld Collection, which is basically a collection of some of the best writing from the site, I guess.
Oh no.
So that's something. A memento, I suppose, that you can pick up. Kickstarter ends in 29 days. And it's,
I don't kickstart
it's called the Offworld Collection. And that is, I think that's all the news I have.
How's that all the news you had? So much stuff happened.
There was a lot of like earnings reports and stuff that happened. Oh, the one that I couldn't find the page for, but did happen. So last week we were talking about how Insomniac was teasing their next game.
Oh yeah, and that Metroidvania thingy.
Yeah, it's a Song of the Deep, I think it's called. GameStop, so it's interesting. You know, yeah, that GameStop is publishing it.
I had a GameStop employee tell me to not buy it before. Like,
really?
Because we were talking when I was picking up Digimon or whatever, and he's like, so yeah, also, GameStop's like publishing this game. I would not buy it because GameStop. So I was like, ah, thanks. I mean, was it
weird GameStop experiences recently?
Yeah, and then like I saw your tweet about the person that was excited.
It was the same guy. He's like my best friend now. So, but yeah, I've had some interesting experiences at GameStop. So.
Let me try and find this game. Oh, it's not there. Let me keep looking. Not in that drawer.
Because he was like, I don't even know what GameStop is trying to do right now, because now they're trying to publish games. It's like, no, just not buying it. It was like, oh,
so
not
like,
me either.
What do you think this means for the future? Like, I applaud GameStop in trying to find relevance for themselves. You know, they start with the tablets, use tablets and mobile devices, then they bought ThinkGeek, and like my local store is, I guess, the only collectibles GameStop store in Wisconsin. So they have this cool glass shelf, and it has these collector game-themed statues inside, and it looks really awesome.
If the Insomniac thing is anything to go by, I'd have to imagine it's just for bringing the small downloadable games to the physical space.
Hmm.
Like stuff like you would only be like downloading off of PSN digitally, like stuff like that, because that's a small downloadable looking game. It doesn't look like it would really be on a disc that you need to print and like have people buy physically. So stuff like that.
So you think it's less about becoming a publisher and more about catering to people who want physical stuff?
First, I'm sure there's a ulterior motive there to be had, but I think they're going to start small before they get too overlordy with
it. Think about it, because they do try to sell like digital stuff in GameStop, but it's like, well, why would I do that? If I'm going to buy digital, I might as well just buy it from my console. Why leave my house to go do that? But so I guess like in this attempt, it's like, just in case people do still want physical stuff, it's like, yep, we got it because we're the one publishing it. So it definitely happened. So,
So I guess we have one example of GameStop employees actually saying, "Don't buy GameStop squares." I don't like. Is it weird that? Because you know we've always heard stories of people who want to buy a new copy of a game, and people will be, and GameStop will push the used copy because they make more money on it. Or actually, the employee just, you know, is being threatened with their livelihood, and so they're doing what the company wants them to. So, you know, does it get to a point where GameStop is publishing a whole bunch of games, and then they're, like, saying, oh, don't buy Call of Duty, buy Call of whatever ours is.
Oh, man, well, that'd be terrible if they went, like, the rip-off route of, like, we're just going to make the B-tier of everything that's popular.
Oh, Game Loft of content.
Yeah, the new game. Game Loft. Oof.
Well, not in the sense that they would make ripoffs, but it's just sort of, or maybe they would. Like, that's the easiest way to recommend, right? It's like, oh, you like Battlefield? Here's.
You'd also like
this field fight of place. Combat.
Fight place.
It's made by a developer that you know.
I don't think that would work, though. It's just, I think the user base is too savvy for that, so I don't think it would work on, like,
not the entire user base.
See, that's the other thing, is, like, on one hand, it's like, I don't think it would happen, but on the other hand, it's like, you have travel games that sell amazingly, and it's like, dude,
the whole
I want to believe, but I've seen evidence to the contrary, so therefore I cannot believe, sorry.
All it would take is just that one lone parent to walk in there and be like, I'm looking for this, and they're like, well, boy, do I have the game for you, and they're like, oh, this seems comparable. And then next thing you know, there's a bunch of disappointed kids all over America because they're like, well, thanks, Mom, for buying me whatever the hell this is, because it sure isn't Call of Duty. So
See, like, when I think about it like that, that is super, like, skeezy.
Because
hard push on, like, well, before you pick up this copy of this game that you pre-ordered, let me tell you about this game that we're publishing and how you should be interested in it. They've got their tentacles everywhere. It's, tropical.
You know, like,
it's like Predators.
Who pushed?
It's like,
I mean, not as much, but like Best Buy, you know, they have their own in-store brands. And occasionally for accessories and stuff that don't really matter, to most people, they'll say like, oh, just buy Rocketfish. Cause it doesn't matter. And, you know, they make more money off of the in-store brands. And other places like, I guess Walmart, you know, they just price lower than other people, so it's like mainstay bed sheets or whatever are going to be cheaper than some other brand of bed sheets at Walmart. With GameStop, like, they rely a lot on their salespeople, like, to tell people things.
Yeah, they already have like an army of henchmen in place. and like you just said, they can threaten them with their livelihood and be like, these are your orders, Stormtrooper. You know it'll happen if you don't do them.
We need 500 pre-orders of Song of the Sea. Or, you know, not Song of the Sea, because that in this case, like, it seems like not that. But down the line, who knows what it becomes.
Yeah, like I said, dude, I can see where this is going. I can sense the dark side at play here, and ulterior motives. They're not going to start that way, but
yeah.
The ball's rolling down a slippery slope.
I'm sure it's fine. This Palpatine guy, totally trustworthy. That's cool.
They did do that. But on the other hand, like, has a GameStop employee ever recommended to you a GameStop brand controller?
No.
Because they've had those.
They have not. Not to me, anyway.
So, there is hope.
It may just depend on the employee, because, I mean, I feel like there's very different types of GameStop employees, because it's like you have the ones that actually do play games, and, like, the one I met recently, who was, like, super excited about stuff, and I was like, oh, this guy right here. But then you have the other ones that are kind of just like there, and they're just like, I don't know what a video game is. I'm just here to get my paycheck and go home. And then those will probably be the ones that'll be trying to, you know, sell you on GameStop published games and Think Geek stuff or whatever the hell it is that's going on at GameStop now. And then, yeah.
That's like, it's so super weird. It's kind of like if the story, like, on the front said, like, Activision, and they're always, like, or any other publisher, and it's just, like, they were, like, pushing their games, and it's just, it's super weird, man.
Mm.
It's super, I don't like where this is going. I don't like the path you're going down, Anakin. Turn back.
Nah, turn back. I'm sure it's fine. Nothing can possibly go wrong. Nothing can possibly go wrong. They're gonna bring balance to the game. Yep.
None of these things came to pass. All of your reassurances, none of them came to pass.
Good old balance.
Yeah, it could be weird.
I mean, that being said, I don't shop at GameStop since, like, forever. Me and Bev had, like, an entire podcast where, like, he was defending it, and he's like, I don't even know how this came to be, Tekken. I'm defending GameStop against you because you said all these bad things. He's like, well, it's true, dude, so look in the mirror, man, because, yeah.
It's not, I mean, a lot of things that bad things that people say about GameStop aren't wrong, so it's like how do you defend it? It's like, before the merger or whatever, it's like GameStops were just not the place I would go, so it's just like, why? It's just like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's very, I missed the rise of GameStop. I was not here, so I didn't see it. By the time I was here, it's like, oh, these have all merged, and this guy got bought, and this one is gone, and
back in the day, people who worked at game stores actually played the games that they were telling you to play, and they actually knew what Shin Megami Tensei was, and not like, the hell is that? And it's like, It's like, but now it's like, now I have to go through spelling things and telling them what consoles and helping them find their games in their own damn stores. It's like, it's, I don't know. No, man.
I think part of that, though, is like, it's sort of a good thing. Like, I think it means that gamers are less homogenized now. You know, there was everyone seemed to like the same stuff at a time in the past. And at least sort of the internet didn't exist, but like that general internet feel that existed before the internet, like it felt like it was all sort of the same group. And now you do have a bunch of gamers who have no idea whatever RPG is playing. Like, I don't know. I never heard of that one. Because they're playing like Call of Duty and Destiny and Witcher and like the big things that would have been that general internet feel back in the day. Whoever was marketing more.
Activision for everything. And or EA.
Actually, this is sort of unrelated. It was, your story about the guy who didn't know where anything was. I was in my local one the other day, and he was like, the guy didn't, I guess he didn't want to help me, I suppose. Even though he came and asked me if I needed help. And I was like, oh yeah. I was looking for a Steam controller. I was like, oh, I don't think those are out yet. I was like, really? Because it used to say pre-order, and now they have price tags. I was like, oh, well, I'm new at this store, and I haven't seen them or anything. And I was like, I'm going to push him a little. I was like, so there's a BioShock Complete over there. Does that, like, is it actually complete? Or is it, you know, the DLC has already been downloaded, and then so you have to buy DLC again? And he's like, well, we sell the DLC. And like, but then, you know, the complete one has a different sticker than the regular one. And it's like, oh, some people, you know, they just like are not good employees and they just stick whatever. It's like, really? But if you scanned it, it would have the right sticker. And, you know, that's how the printer thing works then.
We should just make like an online video show of like game clerks, and that's like clerks but within like a game store. It's like, yep, stuff like this every episode.
It's like, guys, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. It's like for every good one, there's like 15 not. And it's just like, I just don't know, man. I just don't know.
Oh man, working there was actually pretty fun. You get to see some weird stuff.
I bet. I bet.
did I ever mention the one where the kid, or he was actually stealing stuff, but it was a very good distraction. I still feel stupid about it.
No, Jonah would never heard this.
I just want to say no, you did not.
Because he was like, I think he was stealing like some sort of trading card game, like the card packs. Because he came over and he was like asking about the price of like a Game Boy Advance or something, and I was like, oh, it's this price. And then he showed me a watch, and he said, it's real. And I said, you mean it's a real watch?
Yes. Yes, it is.
He's like, is he trying? We don't have the barter system anymore.
Wait.
So I was sort of like, I'm going to ignore you, and that was a mistake.
So for the old, this is a real watch gag. Good job, Tropical.
It was, yeah.
It's the third oldest one in the book.
Because before that, they didn't have watches.
Yes, that's where I was going with that, Tropical. That's exactly where I was going with that. Sigh.
Any concept of time or how to tell it at all.
It's a real sundial.
I just about to say the same thing. Look how accurate it is.
Oh, man.
I was just reminded of something that happened in the rage yesterday. I think we were talking about Oryx not speaking in the final battle. It was really funny. Yeah, I catch the stream.
There's a lot of shenanigans that happened yesterday.
It was hilarious.
Someone invoked Rule 34. I'm not going to say what, but it happened. It was me, by the way. Just saying. Just going out there. A lot of shenanigans.
Yep. And on that, I think that's all the news we have. middle segment was fun. Did we cover... I think we're okay with new releases because we did rapid release response last week for February. Although we probably did miss games because release.com is not that good.
That is kind of sad considering.
Yeah, they need to... I keep saying this, like, there is no good place to go find all of the releases. And maybe it's the fault of release dates that keep getting changed, or maybe people aren't just like, maybe it's really hard and no one wants to put in the effort.
Because, I mean, I think it could be a little bit of both. Because, I mean, it's hard to, like, nail down release dates nowadays because it's like, oh.
Because people don't nail them down.
Exactly. They're like, nope, it's fluid. It's like, this is a general window of when the game will probably come out. And, yeah, it just got delayed 6 months, sorry. So.
Like, did you know Bombshell is out?
I did not until I saw the review for it on Game Trailers, and I was like, oh, wow,
yeah.
That game is terrible. I'm
that game is terrible.
Never playing that.
I was like, it's out? That's crazy. Oh, it's bad?
That's unfortunate.
Sad for them.
What is Bombshell? It's my follow-up question to that.
I think it's like 3D Realms, right?
Yeah.
They made a sort of top-down...
It kind of proves my theory about Duke Nukem of like, kind of old and outdated, nobody cares, yeah, move on. Find some new material, dudes, because your out-of-date sticker is showing, and nobody wants your smelly disgustingness around them.
Oh my...
Oh,
that part about the same joke repeated over and over. Ugh, terrible.
I'm sorry.
So yeah, that is another Aimless Babble Z. Next week we will be here again. I don't know what we're going to be talking about yet, so
stuff.
Find that out on our Twitter and Facebook, and check out the new aimlesspodcast.com, where we have slightly truncated versions. Not truncated, slightly shorter versions of the podcast, eliminating odd silences and background noise as much as possible, and it's good. We're doing a little bit of editing work now. We're improving. It's only been 8 years.
Hey,
good
things take time.
Exactly. We are also on YouTube. Thanks.
I mean, by episode 400, we'll be so much better.
What do you mean, like episode 500? I mean, we're already like well over 400 by now. But
yeah, if you haven't gone back and listened to those like pre-pilot episodes, it's
super rough.
It's neat. You can hear like the enthusiasm and the optimism of Tekken back in the day.
Well, Roger, what happened to me?
Yes, I was about to say.
He was all about, oh, we're going to be amazing.
Intent.
So, check out those and subscribe to YouTube to listen to us live. Thank you for listening to us live.
Yeah,
we do that every Thursday.
So, yeah. Until next week. Anything to say before we wrap it up, RPG?
Yes. Keep up the good work, Square Enix. Keep up the old... You know what you did.
So would you say that Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry counts as 1 point, or half a point, or no points since it's a standalone game?
I have no idea what that game even is, so... I don't know.
I'll go ahead and mark it in the point column, then, because RPG's all like, oh, well, good, let's have that one taken. Ho-ho!
So that one's a win, and we still got one disputed.
Yep.
Well, the DLC doesn't count. I mean, there shouldn't be any dispute about that.
So Freedom Cry was part of the season pass for Black Flag.
Oh, but then it's
also released as a standalone.
That doesn't make it a game. That still makes it DLC. Just standalone DLC.
Bad RPG.
No, it's not the same
middle
thing.
And end.
It's not the same thing.
Whatever. I'll put it in the disputed column then. Oh.
No, if all your games are going to end up disputed by the end of the year, it's going to kind of defeat the purpose, don't you think?
Oh, we'll see about that, buddy. So, you know, just a update on the scoreboard since RPG's all like, it doesn't count. Let's see. RPG with 0 still, just, you know, throwing it out there. Tropical with 1, Basketball. Oh, yeah. And then Tekken with the 4.
That's what just
and
like,
2
zero,
in speed
it's call. Like the ball or something. So it's like
I should be able to earn points for the amount of time I've spent on games that don't
not,
end.
That's not how that works, Chapter Cole.
It does not, because if that's the case, then I would be like, I would have like points two.
The free-to-play treadmill to nowhere does not count at all, ever. So yeah. That's the scoreboard where we're at. And, you know, keeping score. And we'll see where we're at next week. And until you see or hear from us again, MSWZ. And we're now setting off.